I want to talk to you this morning about a pledge and a prayer. We've sung a lot about the Pledge to Allegiance this morning. But in 1959, I started first grade at Glencoe Elementary School, Glencoe, Kentucky. Of course, I didn't have to go to kindergarten. I was an exceptionally bright child, as were all 10 of us, I think, in that first grade class that I was in. And we were mixed in with the second graders, and that was all right, because the second graders helped first graders, and some of you can identify with that a little bit. So that's kind of how we started. Miss Margaret R. Smith was our teacher, and she was ancient. She was about 55 years old, and it was amazing that anybody could live that long, but that's how old she was, and she was my teacher. And some of you have heard me tell about Miss Margaret quite often because she made a big impression in my life since I had her the first grade, the second grade, the third grade, the fourth grade, and the sixth grade. And so, you know, you had another mom in there. That's kind of the teacher that she was. Every day, we started class the very same way, and we would pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and then we would pray every single day, Glencoe Elementary School. The pledge had been given to us in 1892, and it had undergone at least two revisions in 1954 at the urging of President Eisenhower. Congress had added, under God, those words, indivisible, and that was our pledge, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was our pledge, and this was our country, and we were young, but we were proud to be Americans. Before Lee Greenwood ever wrote the song, we were already proud to be an American. There are things that I remember, Cuban Missile Crisis. The threat of communism was real. The pressure upon our nation. The fear that we had that, well, what would happen if there was an atomic attack? And because in our schools in those days, we actually practiced what to do in case of an atomic or a nuclear attack. Those were on our minds. Communism was real. Along came the Cuban Missile Crisis. We gathered at our churches to pray, but it was very much on our mind that if Cuba had missiles, we were in great danger here in the United States. That generation had not forgotten Pearl Harbor and World War II and Korea and the onslaught, the advance of communism around the world. We pledged allegiance. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated, and we prayed, and we pledged allegiance. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy. There was an invasion in this country called the Beatles. My dad referred to them as mop-headed Beatles, who came over here from England, the Beatle invasion, not the Japanese Beatles. We got those right now, and they're terrible. But the English Beatles enjoyed it. Came to our country, and our nation would never be the same. There was Vietnam and Woodstock, 1969, the Summer of Love. Bumper stickers that said, America, love it or leave it. Songwriters that wrote, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Oh, we need a Merle Haggard today. And we just kept pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. On June the 25th, 1962, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that state-sponsored prayer was unconstitutional. It took a while for the news to reach Glencoe, so we just kept on pledging and praying. What did we pray? Well, every day we stood in our public school class and we prayed a prayer that you know quite well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now and we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Well, when the Supreme Court said we could no longer pray that prayer in a public school classroom, what were we going to do? Well, the Supreme Court had never met Miss Margaret. And she was, after all, the master of the universe. At least she was a master of her classroom, and they didn't dare mess with Miss Margaret. And so what were they going to do? They couldn't take our iPads. They couldn't lay hold of our computers. Maybe they could take our Fun with Dick and Jane readers or the blackboards that we had on the wall. But really, that's pretty much all there was. And we prayed. And we prayed. Years later, I'm still praying the Lord's Prayer. It's not just as we recited it a moment ago where you can say it in about 45 seconds, but about 30 years ago, I read a book by a man named Larry Lee, and the title of the book was Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And in that book, he took the Lord's Prayer and he broke it down into different sections. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So I learned to pray even 30 years ago. I've been preaching for quite a while, and that was to focus upon God, the God, our Father God, and to pray that I would honor his name, hallowed be thy name, and to pray that his kingdom would come in my life, his will would be done in my life, and the life of my wife, the life of my children, the life of my grandchildren. I pray that over this church. Lord, may your kingdom come, your will be done at Concord Baptist Church. I pray that over this community. Your kingdom come, your will be done in our community. I pray this over our country. I pray this for our president, whatever he's going to tweet today. I pray this for our president, that God's kingdom would come, his will would be done in this man's life and in the life of our nation. I still pray that today. And it helped me because I came to understand the Lord's Prayer is not just the Lord's Prayer, it is a model prayer. They asked Jesus, how should we pray? And Jesus said, this is how you pray. And also this, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I have found through the years to take this prayer and break it down on all of its parts and to pray this over myself, pray this over my family, pray this over my church, pray this over my nation. You see, it's not just that I pledge allegiance to the United States. I pray for this country that God has put us in and he has blessed us with. And that's kind of what I want you to think about this morning, but in particular, these words. A few years ago, I heard Dr. John Piper at a convention speak on the opening lines of the Lord's Prayer, especially the part that says, hallowed be thy name. Now, before that, when I would hit hallowed be thy name, I would say, well, hallowed be thy name. Your name is hallowed. Your name is to be hallowed. Your name is holy. So it's just kind of a recognition that God is holy and his name is great and hallowed be thy name. But I've come to understand since then, and thank you, Dr. Piper, for helping me to understand that is as much a part as of the prayer as praying thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is a thing that simply we're asking, oh God, may your name be honored, hallowed, honored be your name. May your name be exalted. May your name be set apart. May your name be sanctified. May everything we do in life be to the glory and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I honor, hallow his name. Others honor him because I hallow his name. I honor him. I set him apart. I sanctify his name. And so as I pray, may my family, the first thing, may above everything else in the life of my family, may my family, my children, my grandchildren, everybody honor the name of the Lord. I pray that for Concord, that no matter what we might do, what direction we go, what kind of decisions we make, may everything about Concord Baptist Church be to the praise and the honor of his holy name. I even pray that for Central Missouri. I happen to like Central Missouri. I happen to think this is a great place to live and raise children. But what do I want from Central Missouri more than anything else? The thing that God would have, and that is that this part of our world would honor the name of Jesus. I pray this for the whole state. Here we are right in the heart of the United States, and you can't have a good body if you don't have a good heart, and you can't have a good nation if you don't have a good heart. Oh God, would Missouri honor your name? Oh God, would the United States of America sanctify your name before the whole world? May others look at this country and see Jesus in us. That is what I believe God desires, and that's what I want too, because I want what God wants. What if that was our prayer? May this land, not just my land, not just your land, what if this land was His land? Can you imagine if we lived in a land that exalted Him before the world, that took the name of Jesus Christ across this planet? We don't think that way, but I think pledging allegiance is not enough. We need not just a pledge, we need a prayer. And let me just share three very simple things with you. First of all, I think this prayer to honor the name of the Lord was the dream at the outset of this country. I think it was there in the beginning. Now, however you might read history, and I know there would be those who would say, well, you know, what we really need to do is we need to come up with history that is actually like it happened. It's not like it's been written in the past. Well, how do you know how it happened if you don't read what was written in the past? And so you want to take history and you want to rewrite it. And so to say that for many, many, many years, however history was recorded, it was wrong. I'm telling you, sir, you're the one that's wrong. Because down through the ages, there has been a picture given us of a nation that wanted to honor God. Just really wanted to honor Jesus. Whatever you think about our nation's founding, learn a little bit more about it. Get as close to history as you possibly can. Take a trip. Go on vacation. Get in a van with the Forsythes and go on their dead man tour that they're taking up the East Coast. I wouldn't be in that van, no way, shape, or form. But they're traveling now, and they're going to D.C., and they're going to New York, and they're passing up through there, and John's going to drag those precious girls to some cemeteries because he's wanting to think about what the founding of our country was about. You turn the clock back to 1620 and you learn the story of an oppressed group of pilgrims at Plymouth, and they're just trying to make it. You learn their deep faith and their desire to honor God. That's what drove them from England to Europe, back to this, to these shores. It was a desire to honor God. And while you're at it, think about this. In honoring their God, they knew that they must spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They came to this country finding freedom, seeking freedom, but they also came to this country to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. The inhabitants of this country right here, don't let that be eliminated from our nation's history. They did not come to overcome the native people by bloodshed. They came to tell them of the blood of the Lamb. And a missionary zeal is written in the fabric and the framework of the founding of our country. Men like David Brainerd, who gave his life for the American Indian there in the Northeast and died of tuberculosis there in the snow, praying for them to come to Christ. Men like Adoniram Judson, who heard the missionary call there from there in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and he left the shores of this country to go to Burma, never to return to this country, just to take the gospel, just to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Get close enough to history, and you learn of Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and the Haystack Prayer Meeting in Williamstown in 1806, and all of them point to this: hallowed be thy name. May the name of Jesus be honored in this country that we've chosen as our native home. Even in the founding of our country, you find statements pointing to for the glory of God in the states as they came together. As these 13 original colonies that came together in nearly every one of the colonies, in their charter, it was written that what they were doing was for the advancement of the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. Read it out of the history books, folks, because it's there. Samuel Adams, after signing the Declaration of Independence, said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting sun, may his kingdom come." You know what Adams was saying? Hallowed be thy name. Franklin at the First Continental Congress uttered a long statement on prayer and concluded with these words, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid?" And then he encouraged them to pray. You know what he was saying here at the very beginning of this country, even with our forming of a constitution, may his name be hallowed. Hallowed be his name. So that's how we started. But our nation early on was a nation of trouble because of slavery in this country. How can any man ever own another man? The idea, the thought to us today is abhorrent, even though we see around the world that slavery is still practiced. And you read of other forms of slavery that have taken place in society. But how could we ask God to bless America? How could God's name be honored in a country where one man could own another? And so the blood ran deep in this country over the issue of slavery. And so we fought a civil war. The divide that opened up is still greatly unsealed in this country. America has a lot of division today. Maybe we sense more of a divided society than we've ever had. There's racial division. I would say there is moral division as men and women have walked away from God's clear plan for how they're supposed to live a life. And what we find is division, 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 a largely unsealed divide that is opened, and there's a blindness toward the things of God in our society and a blindness in the human heart. We are a divided nation. And in the midst of all of our division, sometimes it's hard to pray, "Lord, how can we honor your name? Honored be your name." And I think if God were to speak, just to speak out of the heaven to us, he would say very much what he said through the pages of God's word. And that is, you can pray, "Hallowed be thy name." You can pray, "Honor my name." But America as a nation needs to get right with me. There needs to be a turning back. There was a dream in the beginning. There was a divide in the middle, but there is a desire going forward. What do we see for America? What do we want for America? What do I want for America? What I want can best be expressed by the words of Jesus Christ himself, as he taught us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." When his name is honored, when the name of Jesus is honored, every piece shall fall into place. When Jesus is in place, everything fits. And your life today may be dysfunctional. It may be totally out of sync and totally out of order. Let me tell you, when you begin to honor the name of the Lord and Jesus is lifted up, exalted in your own life, everything begins to fall into place. Everything begins to fit. This is my desire, that America in general, and I in particular, will honor the name of the Lord. I want my life to honor his name. I want my family to honor his name. I want this church to honor his name. I want our area that we live in to honor his name. I want the United States to honor his name. And the pledge has not changed, and the prayer must not change either. Will you pledge to God? Will you pledge to pray for God to be honored in our national conversation? Does this honor God? Will you pray that Missouri will have a heart to honor God? Will you pray for your church to honor God? Will you pray for your family to honor God? May my life be to the praise of his glorious name. I want to honor God. I would ask you to bow your head with me this morning. So with a pledge and a prayer, a pledge of allegiance to this country, but a prayer that our nation will honor the Lord, we can truly pray that God will bless America again. There have been times in our national conversation when I've struggled to say, Lord, would you bless America? Because I've thought, how can God bless a nation that has walked so far away from Him? So much we need revival. We need God to move. But I want us this morning to pray that we, the people, will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We will hallow His name, and we'll live such a life and we'll proclaim such a message that Jesus Christ will be exalted in our lives every single day. May we honor His name. I want you to stand with your head bowed this morning. And there may be someone in this building, we saw this in the first service today, someone will step out and say, I need to begin to honor the Lord myself by giving my heart to Christ. And we invite you today to come to profess Christ as your Savior, to come to the Lord, to trust Him today and proclaim Him. So we give this as an invitation. Or maybe God has laid upon your heart your need to just get on your knees and to pray to Him. And on your knees at this altar, to say, I will, to the best of my ability, honor you, Lord. And I'm going to pray that our nation will honor the Lord. Oh God, would you?